Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Friday night, I was so surprised when I looked up and saw that giant digital clock. I love it. Brother Bean informed me that was the first time they had it up. Today, he's informed me that they're starting, they want to try out the countdown clock. I'm not sure I like that. But I would ask Brother Bean, can you set that for 10 o'clock? Just reset it. No, all right. You know, I have been very thankful many times because, as you guys may have heard, may not have heard, Brother Beal has informed the faculty before you came on campus. Other schools, good schools, schools that believe just like us, have really gone through the fire. Some aren't even opening. And I have been glad every day. People have asked me, alumni and pastor friends, so are you guys going to open? I'll say yes, with some protocols, but I have felt this way. I don't care what protocols Brother Beal has for all of us. It's worth it to do what we're doing right now. And I'm thankful. I want to praise the Lord for it. I'm also thankful that Brother Beal has chosen, God told him to choose the theme, Follow Jesus. My, how that has gone through my mind and heart all last week before that. And I would like to show you in this passage today something about following Jesus that sometimes we need to be reminded. What I want to entitle the message is Commitment Without Surrender. I'd like to prove to you today that we actually have an account where the difference between men who thought they would make a commitment but weren't surrendered failed. It's interesting how we start the reading in verse 51. By the way, let me just read the definitions real quick. Now listen carefully. I looked up the word commitment. It means a state of quality of being dedicated to a cause, an obligation that restricts freedom of activity. That's the word commitment. But listen to the definition of surrender. To cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. Do you see the difference? You will this morning in God's word. You know, it was M.R. Dahan, who said this: to come to Christ costs nothing. To follow Christ costs something. Let me read it again. To come to Christ costs nothing. To follow Christ costs something, but to surrender to Christ costs everything. I don't know of a passage that spoke to my heart more in this area. I believe a lot of God's people, I know I spent 17 years of my life not understanding the difference. And it would not be until my junior year of Bible college. And Brother Lucan and Wanda remember me, it would not be till my junior year that I finally determined the difference between being committed to a cause or to Jesus and being surrendered to Him. Can I tell you something? I'm standing in front of a lot of older people, and some younger that are my peers on faculty and staff. I teach with some of the best Christians I know. And I know this will ring a bell with them. But surrender is something we probably can all look back, Brother Bray, and remember that day when, okay, I'm going to give everything to Christ. But can I tell you guys something? What God has shown me so much of my life is you got to do that every day. Every day. Otherwise, all you're going to do is remember some vague commitments you made when you were younger. Look at verse 51, and it's fascinating the way the Holy Spirit had this written, because we see the example of surrender, our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he, Jesus, should be received up. In other words, brethren, he's going to the cross. He is literally, for the rest of Luke, he is headed toward that cross. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That verb, that word set, means to make stable, to render constant. Our Lord Jesus was always a surrendered person. But I want you to notice, I only have 2 points and then 3 subpoints under the second point. I'll try to move quickly. But the very first group we read that struggled with surrender were the apostles who had surrendered. Thus my point that though many of us in this room, the older people that have been in ministry, though we live surrendered, they'll tell you, you can't just make that one time decision. I like Paul. I tell the students, I think Paul's 2-word life goal. I die daily. 3 words, excuse me. I die daily. Die daily. Now, I want to show you the disciples. You see, they didn't understand the difference, in my opinion, between commitment and full surrender like Jesus. And it caused them to misuse their ministry. The Bible says, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them. That word rebuke means he used sharp language and said, ye know not of what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. These two men, I mean, James and John, my, what powerful apostles. But they needed to learn something on this day. They had been with Jesus now almost 3 years. They had seen miracles and they got offended. Do you know when you get out, when I say this to you guys all the time, you've been hurt, you've been offended, but nothing like you will go through when you step away into full time ministry. I talked to a pastor who is a wonderful pastor, has a wonderful wife. And he called me Saturday and we talked for about a half hour. He was discouraged. And it was because of a deacon and some other families. It's going to happen. And if we're not careful and we don't remember when we're in the ministry one day, wait a minute, I died today. I surrendered everything. And Lord, you are in charge of this deacon. You are in charge of this ministry. You're in charge of my family, Lord. Because if we don't, let me tell you, you will misuse your ministry. These guys were. They came to Jesus and said, hey, wilt thou that we command fire? Lord, we just got, let me tell you, those Samaritans, they hate you. They don't want you anywhere. Lord, would you call down fire? No, they were so offended. They said, let us call down the fire. And Jesus said, you're wrong. Your spirit is wrong. And by the way, brethren, quickly, just think about this. Had God given them that permission, which Jesus would never do, because he was surrendered to go to the cross for these Samaritans. If he had allowed it, they would have sent all those people to hell instantly. Jesus said, that's not why I'm here. And you notice how the surrendered one in this group responded. He just went to the next village. If we're not careful and we're not completely surrendered every day, we might become in danger of misusing our ministry. Notice the second major point. When a person is committed but not surrendered, it can cause that person or us to miscalculate the cost to do ministry. Again, the disciples, because they weren't surrendered that day to the will of him who was surrendered to the cross, it caused them to misuse their ministry. But these next three examples tell us that when a person doesn't understand true surrender, like Jesus is going to say to them, it'll cause them, it did cause them to miscalculate the cost to do ministry. We see the first example in verses 57 and 58. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man, it's interesting, Matthew 8:19 says it was a scribe. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see, this man volunteered to go. That's not a bad thing. But you see, Jesus understood immediately that this man was mindful of his own comfort. Now, when I say mindful, our English word means his mind was full of that thinking. And so Jesus said, now you need to understand, serving with a surrendered life deals with the necessities of life. You can ask any of the older faculty staff. It's been almost 40 years for me now. For the Ashleys and for Brother Bray and certainly for Doc Scoville and the Lukens, it's been a long time. And if you were to ask us, did you ever struggle with the necessities or comforts of life? Every one of them is going to say, well, yes. But now that we look back, and that's one of the privileges we have of looking back, you're still looking this way, you're looking forward. We can say to you, our surrender was tested sometimes, many times. But we're here because, praise God for His grace, we learned to surrender that to the Lord. Our comforts, our necessities. Now, don't think because, you know, I'm at the age I am, almost 40 years in ministry. Don't think it doesn't come up. I found something out about getting older. Not old, older. There's needs. And there always will be. But God has powerfully shown me, and again, I'm so thankful. Our theme is following Jesus. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a lot older than you, but nothing changes in regard to making a commitment versus surrender. See, if you're not careful, you'll come to school. You might even have come forward last week. There were a lot of wonderful reasons to do that. But you've got to be able to understand. Jesus said to this man, hey, great that you came to me and volunteered, but I know you're mindful of your comfort. I don't know if you can look around, but none of the faculty look like refugees, homeless, starving to death. And many times in your life, right now, you're going through some things. God's trying to begin your journey of faith. You need to learn to trust Him. If you're going to be surrendered completely to God's call in your life, don't let yourself become mindful of comfort. The second example is found in verses 59 and 60. By the way, when you and I make, and this is my trouble, all the way up until my junior year of Bible college, I was still making commitments because we had good preachers. We had that guy right there. I showed he and Brother Savinsky, they were standing there, and I showed them my old Schofield Bible where they both had signed it. That man made an impression on my life. I remember my junior year, Dr. Comfort said something that, you know, we had other good chapel. But he said something, and it wasn't even a verse. It was a comment about what he was preaching, but it went like a lightning bolt from heaven down through my body. I'm sitting there in that gymnasium like Roger and Wanda were. And he said, young people, why would you want to spend the rest of your life making money? Now, that may not mean much to you, but I was under such conviction. Oh, I've been making commitments. You know, you got to make a commitment to your roommates, to your prayer captain, to the registrar, to the church you're going to. But that day, God said, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to take care of your comforts. I want it now. And I got up during the invitation and I went forward. I didn't care what anyone else thought. And I said, that's no more. I surrender everything. Went to the registrar, changed my major. And I remember him looking at me saying, Joel, this is spring, your junior year. If you change your major, you know it's going to require two more years. I said, I don't care. Now, let me tell you, since then, I haven't been the perfect child of God. But until you come to the place where you surrender and every day surrender, you might find yourself becoming mindful of your comfort. This next man in verses 59 and 60, it says, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer or allow me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. It's interesting. That man said, and by the way, notice this man of the three Jesus went to. And he said, I want you to follow me. And the man said, suffer me first. The word first means first in place, priority. He said, hey, great, man, Lord, that's wonderful. You want me to serve you, but let me take care of my circumstances. Remember, God said, come now, follow me now. And the man said, well, Lord, that's pretty awesome you'd call me, but I've got circumstances that I feel I need to adjust. It's interesting. the way he words this to Jesus, the man's father wasn't even dead yet. But he said, let me go and, you know, take care of my responsibility to my father until he dies, and then with the inheritance. This man was saying, in essence, like so many of us in Bible college and so many of God's people in churches, Lord, I'll follow you later when my family responsibilities and my inheritances are finished. You see, his mind was full of his circumstances. It happened to me when I was 12 at a Christian camp. I was saved the last night under conviction, a seventh grade little boy, Navy brat. I felt so alone on the side of that inactive volcano, Mount Lassen Christian Camp, California, Shasta area. I remember going forward as a little boy, and I didn't care anymore. You know, before that, when you're in junior high, you really care what people think, especially the high schoolers. But I was under such conviction, had such a godly praying mother, that I went forward, and I got on my knees, and I remember praying, and I was so scared. That's the first time in my life I said, Lord, I'll accept the call to ministry. I had no idea what I was talking about. And I almost blew it. When I was 17, it was bad. It was my fault. It wasn't anybody else's. But I went to Bible college and then kept committing, making deals like Jake talked about, Brother Jake. I made deals too. But the whole time, they were just little commitments. And then my junior year, God finally broke me. By the way, he's not done with me. Please remember what I'm trying to show you. Commitment without surrender is shallow. Jesus reminded him that if he really wanted, if he was going to serve him, he had to quit being so mindful of his circumstances. It's interesting how Jesus answered him. By the way, Jesus's answers were always out of a surrendered spirit. Let the dead bury their dead. He was saying, listen, the spiritually dead can always bury the physically dead. There'll always be people to bury the dead. He said, but the gospel is in desperate need. I'm calling you today to do that. And delayed commitment was okay to this man, but it wasn't okay to the surrendered Savior. Lastly, look at the third example of a man who thought commitment without surrender would be good enough. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first, there's that same word first. I prioritize everything, God. Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my at home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what this man was mindful of? His concentration. He had to have all these three. By the way, all three of these had to have control. Control of their comfort. Control of their circumstances. You know, I'll do my life the way I think it should be. And this last one, he said, control of his concentration. There were things that he comes to Jesus and says, yeah, I'll follow you. Oh, squirrel. I forgot something, you know, Lord, why don't you go ahead? I'll catch up with you. But I need to go tell my family goodbye. Listen, Jesus knew his heart. It's interesting how the Lord replies. He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow. In other words, the illustration is a man that has made a commitment to serve me in ministry. And looking back, by the way, notice he did not say and goes back. He just said, looking back is fit. That word fit means well-placed, appropriate, meet. Jesus said, listen, you can't come to me and say that you'll surrender to serve me like these apostles are doing. And remember, they had to learn surrender that day. Because you'll touch the ministry, you'll put your hands to the plow, but you'll keep looking back. And besides the fact that anybody that does that, I've never done that, but everyone else that's preached about it, Brother Camp used to talk about being a farm boy. You can't, listen, it'll be crooked. And all you think about, my, has Dr. Comfort, Brother Beal, Brother Hankey, all of us on faculty, we've seen so many. And apparently, I'm not trying to be their judge, but I'm saying it seems to me what happened was, and it can still happen to Brother Spencer. You know, I have to work on this too, this concentration. It sure helps when you get up every day and say, Lord, take this mind. Help me to concentrate. Help me to trust you for my comfort. Lord, the circumstance. And by the way, all of us, you know, when you get to meet people and ask them, all of us have stories and all of us have hardships. Those circumstances can cause us to lose our concentration. Man, how many I've watched walk away. You know, the real testimony of surrender is not me. God knows my flesh, my weakness, my propensity to think about my comfort, the necessities, my propensity to think, look at circumstances and say, am I in the right place? Maybe I should. Listen, the propensity in my mind and heart to lose the most important thing in my life next to my salvation. God's calling in my life. Oh, listen, it's there. Ask Brother Bray. Ask Brother Lucan. Brother Ashley. Doc Scovel, who's been in ministry a long time. Longer than I've been alive. That's a long time, Doc. Older I get, the more impressed and thankful I am for older men and women, their wives. Because I think, wow, they did it how long? Lord, help me to finish right. But the perfect picture of surrender today is our Lord Jesus. I close. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. It was quoted in chapel last week, but I got to tell you, we saw one verse, verse 51, but now look at this passage by Paul, Philippians 2. You want to know what real surrender is? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind, there's that thought, mind. Remember the three that were mindful? Even the disciples, the apostles, let their mind be full of something that wasn't surrender. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a. Just so we're all clear, that is the word doulos. That is the lowest form of servanthood in that day. Complete surrender. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For my older peers on staff and faculty, may we never forget, yes, there was a day we surrendered, but we must do it every day. Otherwise, we will misuse our ministry. But for those of my younger brothers and sisters who you do ministry, but you're looking forward to that grand calling, it will never happen until you fully surrender and then do it every day. Hey, if Jesus tarries and I won't be around when you guys hit my age, I tell you that all the time. If Jesus tarries, may you and all of you, may you finish well. Our Lord finished well. Would you be surrendered? Now, I'm going to let Brother Beal do the invitation. I'm done. But I know God spoke to many hearts. He spoke to my heart. Some of you were tender. Did you make a commitment? But did you do it without surrender? Today's the day. Follow Jesus. God bless you.